Hey everyone, this is Luke Ski, and let me explain to you what's going on here. Last night, Carrie and I got together to record an episode of Bad Rapport, episode 10, and we decided, ironically, for that episode, we weren't going to be concerned about the time limit. We were just going to, you know, go however long we felt like going. So when we got to about the two-hour mark of our show, we needed to add another few minutes to it so that we could stick the ignorant stories and stuff in the outro on the end of the podcast, at which point the program we were using, Goldwave, froze on us, and it basically looked like we had lost the file forever. So we ended up wrapping for the night. I took her over for her husband to pick her up, and I came back and recorded episode 9.5 as a replacement because I wasn't sure if she and I were going to be able to get together and record. So what happened is I got up this morning, and with help from Carrie's husband, Josh, who is awesome, we were able to figure out, or I was able to figure out where I needed to go in my computer to find the TMP files of the stuff we recorded so that we could recover it. So this was the almost lost episode of Bad Rapport, episode 10, in its glory. Now, for those of you who listened to episode 9.5, there's going to be some repeated content, in particular the tracks Boris Checks In and Greg Brady Wants Me Dead and the Cirque du Soleil commercial, and a few other spoken bits. So basically, if you want to save yourself some time, when you get to the beginning of Boris Checks In, just fast forward about 9 minutes or so, and that'll save you some time. There's a few other kind of repeat things that I did in episode 9.5. Like I said, I wasn't sure if this stuff was lost forever. I appreciate you hanging in there and listening to some somewhat repeated material again. Also, as a bonus to you, because this wouldn't have happened if yesterday had gone off as planned, we are going to end this episode. I'll cut back in here and add on the end of it track one from the new album Procrastinators of the Apocalypse by Cirque du Soleil. You'll get to hear it here first before it gets posted at the Fump on this Friday. So bonus for you for hanging in there with us at Bad Rapport. So that'll be at the very end of the episode in about 2 hours from now. So here we go. Officially, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode 10, the almost lost episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents, recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
I moo when I'm scared. Moo.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
And it is time once again for Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. It's been another 3 weeks. 3 weeks? What the hell is up with that, Carrie?
We has the lives, so I'm sure it'll happen again.
Yes.
In fact, probably the next one will probably be 3 weeks.
In our pre-MarsCon society, we get very, very, very busy. And,
yes, this is the busiest time of year for both of us.
Yes, so we don't intend to make the podcast every 3 weeks. We're trying to keep it to at least twice a month as much as we can, but we like doing it every 2 weeks. So so let's get to the comments and just get this show a rolling. So
I'm told there's a specific reason we're doing comments at the beginning.
Yes. Well, I'll start off.
Go ahead.
Arkles. And by the way, I did streamline these comments. Okay. We had like 20 comments on the last episode.
Yeah,
did you notice that?
I've actually read them.
Yeah. Arkle says, I am so with you on NBC. I can remember a time when nearly every single day I'd have one or more programs on NBC to watch, to the point where I'd actually have to worry about running out of space on the VHS tapes I used to record programs while at school or work. Now, Heroes and Law and Order SVU. NBC does not have the quality of shows it used to have, and this whole Jay Conan mess is just the very public face of the lame behind-the-scenes decisions they've been making for years. So there we go.
Metamia says, I remember putting on the hits. They had some pretty cool guys doing belly button lip syncing occasionally. That sounds familiar. I always thought the show was in the vein of the Gong Show. And someone should get Carrie a cough drop before she starts off the show. She sounds like a New Jersey comedy rapper. And yes, Metamia, I have gotten your links to Steely Dan shirts. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. However, for me to reward you with constant adulation and acknowledgement in every single show, you'd have to actually buy me the shirt.
And yesterday was her birthday, so where were you, man? Come on. Get on it.
But you still rule. Thanks, Metamia.
Yes. I didn't think she sounded like a New Jersey comedy rapper. I thought she sounded like a Rochester long-haired synth punk god.
Yeah.
And that I sounded like a New Jersey comedy rapper. Yeah. And that Ken sounded like somebody who has
like
a cat.
He sounded like Riff
Raff. He sounded like some voice guy one. Anyway, Jared Ringgold, one of the music guests of honor at MarsCon 2010, says, Ed Lover's song was the 900 number by Funkmaster Flex and Mark the 45 King. Yes, the song we just heard at the intro. I also remember putting on the hits. It was a pretty big deal in these parts. I remember both of the acts that you mentioned. Thank you very much, Jared, once again.
Randy Porter states, I do remember putting on the hits, but I had suppressed it until now. Also, small wonder, thanks for bringing back the 80s and making me so glad they ended. You can't be a true NPH fan without mentioning his appearance on the 2004 Broadway cast recording of Sondheim's Assassins, in which he plays Lee Harvey Oswald. In the end scene, he is convinced by John Wilkes Booth's ghost that it's important to history that he kill President Kennedy. Lots of happy, bouncy music, seriously.
I have seen that musical. There was a production of it in Madison. So, yeah, the Assassins was a good show.
I haven't seen that musical, but I'm the one who got Randy Porter into Sondheim.
We'll rock on. Crazy STL Fangirl says, LOL, loved the intro. Very effing funny. Great episode, guys. Thank you.
Sean Ennis states, a guy dancing with puppets on poles. I can only think of The Amazing Christopher. His best quote, this has been my day job for 23 years, so what do you do?
And here's where I show Carrie a video.
Intense puppetry.
Yeah, you get the idea.
That's not the only puppetry I've seen in the last 7 days, but the most intense puppetry I've seen in the last 7 days.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have comments. Yeah, I got to read one.
More.
Yeah. Captain Nova says, Luke, I remember the show FTV in the mid-80s. Yes, somebody remembers it. Woohoo! There was this one character that was a parody of Tina Turner called Tina Turn-On. As for putting on the hits, that was the show that introduced the world to Sinbad, because he used to be a judge on that show. I also remember a guy named Houston that would be one half Lionel Richie and one half Diana Ross. So, this one.
I'll read this one.
Okay, I'll read this one. Hi, Luke and Carrie. This is from Kevin Eldridge. Hi, Luke and Carrie. I've been enjoying Bad Rapport. A couple of comments. I, too, watched Putting on the Hits. Yikes, I was entertained by pretty much anything back then. Not many of the show's lip-sync acts stand out in my memory, but I do recall a guy who did Say, Say, Say. As he sang the Paul McCartney lines, he stood so you could only see his left side. Then for the Michael Jackson part, he suddenly spun around to reveal that his right side was dressed as Michael Jackson,
cool.
Complete with face paint. It was like half a minstrel show. My high school had its own annual lip sync contest, and a couple of kids perfectly replicated the Paul Simon Chevy Chase You Can Call Me Al video. Later they auditioned to appear on Putting on the Hits with this act, but alas, apparently they didn't make the cut. By the way, I went to a Patton Oswalt show in Boston last week. When it was time to work the crowd, everyone Patton talked to was quite boring. Patton even admitted, in working the crowd tonight, I'm 0-3. He still made it funny, but he was clearly having a tough time since the crowd gave him so little to work with. I'm sure he really appreciated your contribution to the Chicago show. If Patton had called on me, I was planning to tell him I was a caricature artist named Luke, but we were way in the back, so that didn't happen. Have fun at MarsCon. Wish I could see you there. Kevin of the Sponge Awareness Foundation. Now, when I first read this comment, it just said, from Kevin, and then I got to the end, Kevin of Sponge Awareness Foundation, I was like, oh shit, it's Kevin Eldridge! Awesome! I haven't heard from him in years! We gotta play a song by Sponge Awareness Foundation on this episode! Which we will. So that's what made me really happy.
And the reason for the comments at the beginning is revealed.
Yes. Yeah, so we have a... Draconis did both a voicemail and posted message, but they both said the same thing. So let's just listen to the phone version. You got your headphones on? Okay.
Now I do.
All right. Where did it go? There it is.
Hey, this is Draconis again, D-R-A-C-H-O-N-U-S. The game I was talking about was Kingdom Hearts, K-I-N-G-D-O-M-H-E-A-R-T-S, for the PlayStation systems. They use a lot of the Disney cartoons and sometimes shows for the game. That's why I was asking your opinion on that. Great show, by the way, for episode 9. Also, wondering if you heard of Sundar the Barbarian from the 80s for an opinion on that. Great show. Have a good day.
So, do I get to read that?
Yes.
So, what did Google Voice think Draconis said? Google Voice thought Draconis said, hey, this is Drake O'Thomas again. There are A-C-H-O-N-U-S. The game I was talking about was Kingdom Hearts. K-I-N-G-T-O-N-H-E-R-T. Ask for the PlayStation systems. They use a lot of the Disney cartoons and sometimes shows from the game. That is why I was asking your opinion on that. Great show. By the way, for upsetting on, also wondering if you heard of something or the bar very in from the 80s for hey jumping on there. Greg So. Have a good day.
So
I probably approached the mic too much on that.
It'll be fine.
Okay.
So to answer your question, I feel stupid because once I saw his messages saying it was Kingdom Hearts, I'm like, oh well, I should have known that's what he was talking about. I'm stupid.
And I've even heard of that thanks to a certain song.
Yes.
That we'll play later.
No.
We're not playing it?
I wasn't planning on playing it.
I listened
to it again today, and first of all, you can barely understand what Chris is saying, and second of all, the song is about video games in general, not about that specific game.
I know, but it's a good song.
I'll tack it at the end of the show after the other song I want to play at the end of the show. By the way, we've decided for this episode not to give a crap about our supposed time limits that we never really do a good job of keeping anyway.
Yeah, and here's the reason. Okay. As you've probably picked up by now, or maybe you haven't if you're a new listener, Luke is actually quite long-winded. And I'm not nearly as long-winded, but since it's Luke and Carrie's bad rapport, I'm always trying to get, you know, as much of my voice in there as his. I don't think I succeed, but I try. So, you know, in my trying to keep up with his long-windedness and him being long-winded, and I just don't think there's any point in trying to stick to a time limit. We'll just go with our outline, and when it's done, it's done. So that's how we feel about that. At
Word.
Least for today. And there might be certain days if we have something we have to get to, but...
So, yeah. The Kingdom Hearts game, which for those of you who don't know, is a game that's out for all the Sony PlayStation systems, where basically they took characters from the Final Fantasy series, combined them with well-known Disney cartoon characters and characters from other Disney franchises, and mix them together in a really cool adventure/RPG type of game. It's back when I was living in Madison with my previous wife, Stephanie, we got that game, and I basically watched her play through, you know, virtually the whole thing, the first version. It was really cool. Haven't really experienced the second version firsthand, but I know the second version they added characters from Pirates of the Caribbean and Tron into it. And other cartoons, so I did a quick look online to kind of remind myself who all the characters were. Iago was already in the first one, so you know, okay. You don't have to worry about him. But here's some quick rundown. From the animated films, the Princess and the Frog, definitely. The Shadow Man would be a perfect villain for the Kingdom Hearts series. Meet the Robinsons, of course, because I love that movie so much. I'd love to see Bowler Hat Guy and Doris and the whole family there. The Emperor's New Groove, I totally love. That whole cast would be great. I'd love to see Rhino the Hamster from Bolt. The thought crossed my mind, what if they tried to work their version of A Christmas Carol, the Jim Carrey animated version? That would be kind of interesting to see them work that into the plot. I'd like to see characters from Hunchback of Notre Dame, Quasimodo, Vincent and Hugo, the gargoyles from there. I can't remember if they've included anybody from Jungle Book, but I'd love to see King Louie. Cruella de Vil would be good. I don't know if the Mad Hatters made it in there. I know they've had other characters from Alice in there. But if they haven't had Mad Hatter yet, I'd love him. The Headless Horseman would be cool, and Mr. Toad from Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. From live-action films, you know, keeping along the lines of, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean and Tron, etc., I was thinking, first of all, Herbie the Love Bug, awesome, you know, because he's been around Disney for years. I don't know how they would work it into that format, but they could figure it out. The movie Bedtime Stories with Adam Sandler, which I really loved. I don't know how exactly they do it, but I'd love to see that. I could see them easily sticking the dogs from Beverly Hills Chihuahua in there. Sky High, Haunted Mansion, either the movie version or some version of Haunted Mansion like from the Disney theme parks, and they definitely should work more Disney theme park related things into the series. The Absent-Minded Professor with Flubber, you know, either the old version or the new Robin Williams version. Flight of the Navigator would be cool. Mary Poppins, of course, would be cool. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, I think, would be good. From TV shows, Kim Possible is a no-brainer.
Darkwing Duck,
of course. Darkwing Duck is the shiznit. I would love Darkwing Duck to come back in any form. He's so cool. Yeah. The TV show Gargoyles would be good. Tailspin, you know, maybe. And I put House of Mouse on the list, even though it already is kind of that anyway. The problem with Tailspin and any version of the Jungle Book is the fact that when it comes to the character King Louie, there's a whole likeness rights issue because King Louie was based on Louis Prima, the jazz musician who did the original voice of King Louie, and I think there's a big fucking fight between Disney and the estate of Louis Prima over getting to use the character King Louie in future things. That's why when they made that, you know, that sequel, The Jungle Book 2, which I haven't seen, I've heard that King Louie is not in that. They just pretend like, oh, the monkeys all left the jungle, you know, which is fucking lame because yeah. The monkeys were one of the best parts of that movie.
Well, I didn't prepare a big answer like Luke did, and even if I had, I don't have the whole Disney franchise memorized like he does. I would just like to see Darkwing Duck in there.
Yeah. I don't have the whole franchise memorized. I went to a couple websites that listed off things and just made some notes. So
okay, well, Darkwing Duck. That's my vote.
Yes. And then, there was a follow-up comment from Randy Porter. You could read that.
Randy Porter stated, Thundar was a great cartoon series, equal parts ripoff of Planet of the Apes, Star Wars, and Conan, created by the greatest comic book artist who ever lived, Jack Kirby, who created or co-created almost every major Marvel character of the 1960s.
If I remember correctly, Thundar the Barbarian is where they had a Chewbacca-type looking character that was called Ookla the Mock.
Oh.
Which is where the band Ookla the Mock got the idea for the name of their band.
I knew their name came from something, but I was never clear on what.
I never watched Thundar. I did watch the Herculoids when they were on the USA Cartoon Express, but I don't really have much of that. So anyway, here comes... you got your headphones on still?
Yes. Yeah.
Here comes Blasted Bill Putt.
Oh my goodness.
Welcome! No, not welcome. Hi! Damn it, I already screwed this up. Hi, Luke and Gary, this is Blasted Bill from the Bad Rapport. And I just got finished listening to your last episode. I have no idea what number it is. I don't keep track of numbers. What is this, some kind of bean-counting thing? You have remarkable, well, awesome timing things this week. Because I started the podcast as soon as I started driving, and it ended as soon as I got to my job this week. So that was incredibly awesome that it was well-timed. So there you go. As far as comments go at the beginning of the podcast. Comments go at the beginning of a podcast. Comments go at the beginning of a podcast. At the beginning of a podcast, go the comments. You do the old business, you do the new business. You do the old business, you do the new business. That's just me. You talk about what you've done before and then you move on. So in my personal opinion, either do the comments at the beginning of the show or don't do the comments. But definitely maybe cut down on the comments and don't read absolutely everything and don't play all the Google messages except you got to mine. Because I'm Black Sibilla. You got to put mine, you know. So it kind of worked not having it at the beginning of the show this week because of the cool opening bit. But I don't think it'll work every week. And the opening bit was cool and awesome and epically awesome. There's that. And also the noise, there was noises every once in a while that went like, it was like a speaker wire or something. And I kept like thinking, you know, that it was on purpose. And then, you know, like, be like, and then at the end it'd be like, and then it would be back to Shoebox and Devo Spice. But then that didn't happen. So that kind of sucked. Batman, the Brave and the Bold is awesome. I love you for playing that song. I didn't actually know that was Neil Patrick Harris, but I'm not much one for paying attention to stuff. You know that. And all the Neil Patrick Harris stuff was awesome. I only ever heard two of those songs. He's quite epically awesome, so thank you for playing that stuff. I will have to try to get copies myself, because those are awesome. And by the last comment here I'm going to make, Carrie said of my parties that we did the party in Chicago because nobody comes to my parties in Michigan. And I want to clarify, maybe this is what she meant, I want to clarify.
Carrie, what was that you said about people being long-winded?
Oh, wow. Yeah, he just outdid Luke there.
Okay.
And, I mean, this thing is hilarious, but it's too long, so maybe we can just post it on the show notes or something.
Well, let's continue with Bill's, so you can hear the rest of it.
Oh, there's more? What?
Yes.
Ah.
I was so long-winded, it cut me off. I have no idea if you'll play both halves of this message or any of it at all, but I'm leaving it, damn it, because I'm Blasted Bill. So as I was saying, Carrie mentioned my parties. So my parties, my New Year's parties and all my parties are extremely well attended in Michigan by people from Michigan. The point was that people from Chicago don't come to my parties in Michigan. So I want people from Chicago that are my friends that I love to come to my parties in Michigan. So there. And then probably the rest of you all, too, are probably invited. If you know who I am, I like people. So find me and come listen to our podcast and stuff. So there we go. What?
Okay. I'm not going to reread the whole thing, but I'll at least reread part of it.
A few highlights.
Let's see. As far as comments skill at the beginning of the podcast. Thomas go at the beginning of a podcast. Comments go at the beginning of a podcast. At the beginning of the podcast, go over the comments. It has to do the new he did you on this is, you know, the new business. You know the owners? You didn't listen. This is Dion her head? That's. You know this me. You know you get your yes talk about what you've done before Avenue more. So in my personal banking, either do the common beginner shell, but this is Thomas, but definitely you know, maybe cut down the comments and feel free to actually everything, go play all the Google messages, except the on mine, because I've got to tell you, gotta buy you know.
Look at that line. I don't know what he actually said. The bring the Perot is awesome. As in Ross Perot?
Apparently so.
Apparently.
That's when he was saying Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Google Voice thought you were talking about Ross Perot.
Ross Perot as Batman would be great, though.
Well, he already has the wings.
Yes.
So.
So what have we learned from Bill's message, Carrie?
The comments go at the end?
No. Women are dumb.
I think. I didn't hit him nearly hard enough. Anyways, maybe we'll switch off on where we do the comments. Who fucking knows? But
okay.
Bill really has a big ego, doesn't he? Also, Bill, you're not from Bad Rapport. You're actually from Bill and Mimi's Pot of Destiny, not Bad Rapport.
He's welcoming us to bad rapport, because apparently he is the mayor of it now. I am Mayor Putt. I am Mayor Putt of the bad rapport. All podcasting and dementia audio goes through my brain.
And I thought that you meant that particular party, your New Year's party, wasn't well attended by folks in general, but I must have misunderstood. But anyways, you've already got my hopefully, you know, commitment to go to that party, Bill. So better be good.
All right. So with all this fun Google misinterpretation of stuff, I want to play something by Henry Rollins that relates, and then after that a song by Sponge Awareness Foundation. So peace out to Kevin Eldridge. So Carrie can either listen to this or go to the bathroom. It's up to her.
I'll listen.
All right, here we go.
So, being a fan of the use of language, being a fan of English, I got this amazing letter from a fellow named Boris, and I wanted to read this to you. He's from the Czech Republic, and I wanted to read you this quick letter by the cat because he's just amazing, and he wrote one of the greatest sentences I have ever read in my life, and I very much want to share it with you. And I'm not trying to put the guy down. I'm not saying, oh, he's dumb. He's just a cat. He's trying to use English. It's not his language, you know, but he's getting by. Like, how well do you get by in Czech? Right. Help. You know, you say, Czech, please, but you can't get by in Czech. This guy's struggling in English, and he's making it. And he is avant. He's bebop. Check this guy out. This is 8/22/98, 12:16 p.m., Los Angeles, California. Boris checks in from the Czech Republic with this burning missive. Hello, Henry. I'm sorry for my English, but I understand English very little. Thank you for your favor. My name is Boris. Have 24 years and write Czech Republic. You played in Czech 2X. Both concerts, they were splendid. Okay, check out this sentence. On two concert, I'm should collective photo, but small, fat, bald-headed technologist be insane. Let's milk it, shall we? On two concert, I'm should have collective photo, but such small, fat, bald-headed technologist be insane. In translation, I think he took his roll of film to Rite Aid and had a bad Rite Aid experience. And you've all had that experience in Thrifty and Rite Aid, where time seems to slow down. I think Boris got his film fucked up by the technologist, who must be, woo, a bit insane. I go on. I compilation all material for you and band. I would like to read of your some book, but she don't publishing in Czech language. This book should be successful in Czech Republic, sure. I you very much for autograph or publicity material or answer in my letter. Thanks a lot for it. I wish for you, band, much power, health, and energy at Further Way Music. Goodbye in future concert in Czech Republic, Boris. The communique from Boris makes me think of how great a feature-length movie with this use of language would be. Could you imagine an intense courtroom drama with scowling, wildly gesticulating lawyers making a case for their clients, kicking it like Boris? Think of having the air flight attendant come on with an English as a second language message. For making landing immediate time, incredibly. Broken moving, not now. Stupid motor on flaming. I declaration emergency. And it made me think of wanting to write a whole screenplay using English as a second language and like have really like some intense like Bruce Willis, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, heavy-hitting actors in like tense courtroom drama, like, for much objections at you of me, sir. Oh, well, for knighting of you, fucking where were you during raping of woman? Ah, for fooling at you of me, trying you. Whoa, and people would be coming out of the theater like, whoa.
And it would maybe be the only time middle America gets their minds expanded. You know, past like, oh, fish sandwich, Happy Meal, or New Mick something. You know, and just send them out like brain damaged in a good way. Like, wake up! Use your language in a different way. Deconstruct it. Throw it in the Cuisinart. Have fun with it. You know, and it's just an idea, but no one ever likes my ideas. Shut up, Henry. Shut up, Henry. But anyway.
Away.
I always watch that Brady Bunch, and everyone agrees. It's just the best show ever. It's so early 70s. I watch those reruns day and night. It was what I lived for. Then one day I was shocked to find Greg Brady at my door. And I was terrified by what he said. Me dead.
Who's that Greg anymore? He's Johnny Bravo.
He was dressed as Johnny Bravo.
Johnny Bravo.
He was looking very strange. He was singing, "It's a sunshine day, and when it's time to change." He was singing, "We can make the world a whole lot brighter." He said, "Keep on, keep on, keep on.
What's next?
Next he tried to wrap a beaded curtain around my throat. Then I had to face that stolen high school mascot goat. He built a giant house of cards to crush me, I suppose. He tried to smash my face in with a football. Oh, my nose.
No, no.
Don't play ball in the house, Mom always said.
No.
Me dead.
Greg, how could you?
Stop moping around.
They say I'm acting crazy. They say I should calm down. But there's a giant blue convertible that's chasing me around. Trying to run me dead. Everything's all right. Yes, it was a bad dream caused by too much Nick at night. I laugh, but then I look up, and I'm just in time to see Greg Brady just about to smash a surfboard down on me. Oh, I should have watched the Partridges instead. Greg Brady wants me dead.
Adios.
And Bobby wants me dead.
Thank you.
And Peter wants me dead.
Oh, Mr. Cool.
And Marshall wants me. Marshall wants me dead.
Marshall.
And Alice wants me dead.
Right.
Sam the Butcher wants me dead. Even Tiger wants me dead.
Tiger.
Cousin Oliver wants me dead.
This is great.
Greg Brady wants me dead.
This is great.
Greg Brady wants me dead.
Greg Brady.
Greg Brady wants me. Greg.
Davy Jones!
Look what you've done to me.
They came from different backgrounds. They came from different parts of the country. But they shared one common dream: to become the number one year-end artist on the nationally syndicated Dr. Demento show. And they did. Shoebox of Worm Quartet, nerdcore rapper Devo Spice, the great Luke Ski, Chris Mazzalesta of Power Salad, All of them have had the number one most requested comedy song of the year on the legendary radio program, The Dr. Demento Show. For the past 5 years, these four artists secretly wrote material, which over a span of 3 days was recorded, to bring you one of the greatest sketch comedy albums ever recorded.
Everybody!
Shoebox, Devo Spice, Luke Ski, and Power Salad are Cirque du So What. Their debut sketch comedy album, Procrastinators of the Apocalypse, world premieres at MarsCon, March 5th, 2010. Order the CD now at CirqueDuSoWhat.net.
Or, if you don't know how to spell that, you can go to BaconNipples.com.
Cirque du So What, because we couldn't think of anything better for our group's name.
Okay, and that was the commercial for Cirque du So What. Before that, we heard the song Greg Brady Wants Me Dead by Sponge Awareness Foundation, led by Mr. Kevin Eldridge. So thank you once again, Kevin. And before that, some pieces by Henry Rollins from a couple of his spoken word albums about Boris checking in. So yeah, Cirque du So What. I want to talk about it, but I kind of don't want to say too much just yet. But overall, you know, here's generally what happened. You know, the bit that was the beginning of last week's episode, three weeks ago's episode, was recorded over the weekend when I went to Rochester to meet up with Devo Spice and Chris Mazzalesta at the home of Shoebox of Worm Quartet, so that we could finally get together after years in the making and record all of the sketch comedy material for the album Cirque du So What, or for the album Procrastinators of the Apocalypse by Cirque du So What. We recorded about 100 minutes of material. We've managed to narrow it down to 66 minutes of material that's going to be on the album itself. And then we are also putting out a bonus CD that you can only get if you pre-order the album before MarsCon when it's released. So if you go to CirqueDuSoWhat.net, that's CirqueDuSoWhat.net, or if that's too hard for you, go to BaconNipples.com, because, yes, we did register both, BaconNipples.com, or, you know, go to, yeah.
That's an awesome URL, BaconNipples.
Yep. And I have to say, my idea. I don't know if that's obvious enough, but
well, it would have had to been yours or shoeboxes.
So. Yeah. So, but you know, we are all very excited. It was a great weekend. We had a lot of fun. We're really psyched that we are finally able to, you know, put this this thing together, and we're so psyched for it. So I'm really excited for people to see us perform live for the first time. As this group at MarsCon Sunday at 10 p.m. during the Rated R block. And oh, by the way, yes, language? Oh, indeed. There is many a naughty word.
There are words.
Oh, God, I so want to play stuff from the album right now, but that whole aesthetic thing of people go to MarsCon, they buy the albums, and then they listen to them on their way home. It's like, I don't want to ruin that aesthetic by playing stuff now. I want them to either experience it for the first time by seeing us on stage for that 15-minute set, you know, for that material, and then hearing the whole album uncut, you know, on their way home in the Dementia Fun Bus or what have you. I just don't want to ruin it by playing anything now. So I want to play it, but I don't want to play it. And like I said, bonus disc will be 20 minutes worth of tracks that got cut from the album, outtakes that are us cracking each other up and that are hilarious. It's, you know, 20 minutes of gloriousness. So yeah, so there's the Cirque du So What, Procrastinators of the Apocalypse. Order it at CirqueDuSoWhat.net or BaconNipples.com. They're the same thing. We've already gotten 20 pre-orders.
Nice.
So,
the reason I didn't pre-order one is because Luke said he'd buy me one.
Well, yeah.
Because I appear on it.
Yeah. And, briefly. Yeah. She appears on two tracks. Both of your tracks made it onto the album.
Yay!
And here's the cool thing is that we did have some test listeners, some people who we decided to say, okay, listen to what we did, tell us what you think is good and bad. And the weird thing was there was such various responses. Like everyone, each of the four people we had listened to it had different things that they loved and different things that they hated. It wasn't like everybody loved one thing and everybody hated a different thing. It was everyone loved and hated completely different things. So our market our kind of test research subjects basically showed us that, you know, there's something for everybody in Cirque du Soleil. It's more like, you know, two people who loved one track and then two people who hated that same track. You know, yeah. It was really hard for us to figure out what to put on the album because, you know, to our opinions, it's all, you know, A material or at the very least B material. You know, which, you know, there were only like out of the 52 or so tracks we recorded, there were only two that we decided were kind of duds and like, eh, those two didn't really work. All right, whatever, we'll shove them aside. The other 50 tracks we recorded were like, this is gold. We love all this stuff.
What about the one that I had to read because you thought it would be too offensive to me personally?
That unfortunately did not make it onto the album, although others.
I can live with that.
People who.
It made me laugh, though.
It made us laugh too.
So the sketch that didn't make the cut made me laugh. So think about how funny the ones that are on there.
Oh hell yeah! And like I said, so we have like I don't know an exact number in minutes. You know, maybe 20 to 30 minutes ish of material that didn't make the album, and we're just saving that for the next album. I mean, it's not like we're gonna throw it away forever. We're just gonna hold on to it, and whenever the second Cirque du Soleil album comes out, it'll be on that. So we're not ditching it by any means. So that sketch you read will end up in the public's ears at some point. And of course there's the Fump. We could always be like, oh, the Fump needs a track. Oh, here's this one, and throw it up there. So speaking of which, and I'll end on this note, there is going to be a Cirque du Soleil track posted at the Fump, I believe, on Friday.
Yeah.
It'll be track one from the album. So it'll be our introductory track to the world. Is track one on the album. It'll be on the Fump on Friday, I believe. So
whatever the 26th is, that's when it'll be.
Yes. So, Friday. Okay, I'll shut up about Cirque du Soleil what now. You can talk about your birthday. Happy birthday, Carrie! Yay! Carrie, birthday! I don't know what that song is. I'm going to drink alcohol now.
Yeah, that just weirds me out. Oh, that's another thing I was thinking when I was listening to Bill's rant. I'm like, I've never heard Bill drunk before. Anyways, I just had a birthday, and my mom was in town, and then me and my mom and Josh went to this thing called Medieval Times. And if you don't know about it, at Medieval Times you pay an exorbitant amount of cash, and then you get to go into an arena, and you get to watch a king and queen, which pissed me off, a king and a prince and a princess and a little plot and a... The coolest guy was like the advisor guy, like the non-evil Jafar or whatever. And then you had these six different knights, and each – the arena's divided up into six teams. We were on the red team, and the green team is the evil team. And there's jousting and knight fighting and horses and – you get to eat a lot of food. I mean, a lot. A whole lot of food. Like chicken, ribs, and garlic bread. And my favorite part of Medieval Times is the medieval torture devices room, which contains actual medieval torture devices from actual medieval times. And all the little descriptions of what they did. And that's my... I remember that from when I went in high school. And this is the first time since then I've been. And it was really cool. And we also went out to eat with Ken on Sunday night. And I can't remember what else we did. But I got some gifties from some peeps. Luke got me a wedding caricature with a... frame that Sarah purchased, and it is a good caricature, and
glowing praise.
Oh hush! When am I ever anything but understated? You know,
when Sarah shows you her wedding cake, that's when you're not understated. That's when your jaw hits the floor and you say, "Oh my God, that is the most awesome cake ever in the world."
Well, I don't think you worked as hard on the wedding caricature as she did on the wedding cake.
True.
And I got a nice, sturdy acoustic guitar case for my nice, sturdy acoustic guitar that I got for Christmas from my husband. So that'll be a nice way that I can keep the cats from destroying it. And I had an experience of making a cake for the first time, which I'm not going to go into all the gritty details of that, but I made a cake and it was tasty. It was not as moist as I would like, but it was delicious and great for those of you who are Jonathan Coulton fans. I got an Amazon gift card and a Joanne Fabrics gift card and, yeah.
You know what you can make if you buy stuff from Joanne Fabric?
Puppets?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So I don't really want to go too much on about that. It's, you know, having a birthday on a Monday, and I turned 32, so it's not like a big significant age to be turning, so, you know, but it was still the first time in many years that I've seen my mom on my actual birthday, and Josh made eggs. Okay. What's next?
Next is a couple of book reviews. You mean you read? Yes. And actually, this first one is really short, and I'm not going to get too analytical about it, but for Christmas, I got the book Last Words by George Carlin and Tony Hendra, I think his last name is. Basically, Tony is someone who's worked in comedy. He worked for National Lampoon for many years, and he was friends with George Carlin, and they were kind of collaboratively working on an autobiography for him together, you know, on and off for the past couple of decades. So they had been like slowly amassing all this material, and they actually were getting to the point where they were going to release it, you know, right when George passed away. So, but it's a brilliant book, especially if you love George Carlin. Just the beginning chapters are so great because it's George describing his childhood in such great George Carlin-esque language detail. It's just amazing. You'll totally love it.
Where did you grow up?
in White Harlem. The area was called Morningside Heights. It's in New York City, one of the boroughs.
Yeah.
I don't know if that... I think that's Brooklyn.
I was pretty sure he was from some urban area. I just wasn't sure which one.
Yeah, and... yeah, it's just... You know, because obviously you knew George was, you know, the drug thing and, you know, him having heart attacks and stuff like that. But to me, it was just really interesting to, like, hear him talk about his career over the years and the different phases he went through and trying to make a name for himself by appearing on television, which meant he had to, like, water down his act so that people like Ed Sullivan would let him on the air, and how a lot of those shows were just, like, so freaking hard to do. It's just like if you're a comedy geek like me, you know, you will devour this book. You will rip through it as quickly as you can. When I got near the end of the book, I was reading it while at Key Lime Cove, and it was nearing time when I was going to leave, and I basically just stayed set up at my stand for like at least a good like half hour after I was supposed to have packed up and left. I just sat there because I wanted to get to the end of the book. So,
wow.
So yeah, Last Words by George Carlin, highly recommend it. There's an audiobook too. A 5-CD book read by his brother Patrick, and I haven't gotten that yet.
Oh, weird.
Shoebox has it, and I'm dying to hear what his brother Patrick sounds like.
He
sounds like George. Anyway, so that was one thing. The other thing that we thought is because there's certain things like in geek culture, internet culture, whatever, that, you know, me and Carrie and others would kind of assume, well, everybody knows about that. But maybe everybody doesn't know about that, and so that's why we should talk about it, just in case, so that we can snag those few other people who haven't heard about this yet. So,
yeah, this is my favorite website we're about to talk about.
Yeah, so
it is literally
take it,
my favorite website on the internet.
Even more than baconnipples.com?
Yes. Even more than thegreatlukeski.com. I was introduced to it by Sarah, and like just by reading her live journal, she linked to it. And it is called cakewrecks.com. I know we've mentioned it before. In fact, we've already mentioned cake in two other contexts on the podcast and an additional context off the podcast.
Yes.
But
and in a previous episode, we had the whole Nickelodeon thing From the MarsCon episode. We played the recording of you doing that song at MarsCon.
We did? Okay.
Yeah. That was the episode 4.5, the preview to get you to buy the MarsCon
Dementia
Track fundraiser.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
And CakeRex is a website about bad cakes. What is the tagline? Hilarious.
When professional cakes go horribly, hilariously wrong.
Yes, and they're all done by professionals, not by your grandma. It's just, you kind of have to go check it out, because me trying to describe it to you is not good enough. But when you do check it out, read the captions, because Jen Yates, creator of CakeRex, her captions and things that she writes to go along with these photos are as funny as the badly done cakes themselves.
It's kind of like you see the image of the cake, which is hilarious, and then it's like Jen steps in as sort of a MST3K kind of riffing, saying like, here's her riff, here's her take on this cake, or, you know, the conversation that led up to its creation or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's really awesome.
I've had many laugh out loud moments reading the website, and I had even more reading the book, which is called CakeRex.
Yes, by Jen Yates. And by the way, when we say Rex, it's WRECKS, as in like a train wreck.
Yes.
So CakeRex.com.
Yeah, not the dinosaur. So
here's the thing, a lot of them of the cake wrecks have to do with people placing orders and asking the people behind the counter to write things on the cake, and we don't know if it's them filling out a handwritten form or them calling them in over the phone and
face to face, probably all three.
Yeah, so combinations of all three. But the one of the more famous ones, which is actually the cover of her book, is
burp.
It says something like, you know, congratulations. They told the person, write congratulations, and then underneath that, we will miss you. And then the person who did the cake wrote, congratulations, underneath that, we will miss you. Like, they literally wrote that whole thing out. So it's like...
it's actually, best wishes, Suzanne, underneath that, we will miss you.
So excuse me for getting that detail wrong. So, you know, so it's a lot of instances like that where you know, instructions are being fouled up, and then there's other cakes that are just like
gross.
Just they look gross because of, you know, poor frosting color choices, or just the ideas behind them themselves are so stupid and ridiculous. Like, why would you think anyone would want a cake that looked like that?
Like, for example,
like there's that one elephant one where it's supposed to be like kind of a yay, happy elephant, like an elephant's face and ears and nose, like you give for a kid's party, but it just looks so weird and freakish, and, you know, like it would scare a kid rather than than they'd be happy to eat it.
Yeah,
you know?
There's a lot of scary looking cakes, some intentionally and unintentionally, like sexual or phallic images in cakes. There's on the website, I actually enjoy the Sunday entries where they call it Sunday Sweets and they post pretty cakes instead of ugly cakes, which I would be very happy on Valentine's Day, February 14th. A picture of my wedding cake made by Sarah Trice was posted. And the previous day, the groom's cake made by Sarah Trice was posted.
Which was intentionally made as a tribute to CakeRex.
Yes.
Which said, congratulations on your weeding.
You were weeding.
Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, weeding. But the one thing about that website that I don't know if anyone's ever addressed, and I'm looking at it from a, you know, the caricature artist's point of view of the customer is always an idiot, you know. It's like, I can just see a lot of those things being like handwritten forms where it's like, you know, where on the form they you know, print it in this space, write what words you want to appear on the cake. And then in that space, that's where people are writing things like Olympic rings.
Yeah.
You know, and then handing in the form, and then the guy who's making the cake, who is like me, who is bitter and tired of putting up with ignorant people who don't know how to follow simple instructions, say, what words do you want on this cake? Olympic rings. Okay, fine. I'm writing the words Olympic rings because that's what the form says, and you're an idiot.
And
so
it's
not my
quotations
fault. Yeah, and
for
then
some random reason.
Yeah. So some of these cakes, it's you know, they're taking it from the point of view of, oh, look at how dumb this professional cake maker is. And I look at it saying, no, look at how dumb the person who filled out that form was for not following instructions. That's the way I look at it, at least for at least some percentage of the cake wrecks.
Yeah.
It's like I can see
this is, I never thought of it that way.
This is an intention. It's like I looked at it saying, oh, this is an intelligent cake maker being a smart ass because the person who filled out the form was stupid and did it wrong. So, yeah. Anyway, but in either case, no matter how you look at it, CakeWrecks.com is hilarious, as is the book Cake Wrecks by Jen Yates. So we're recommending everyone go yes. check out both the website and pick up the book.
Yes, the book is quite cheap and hardcover, and I actually found the book to be even more hilarious than the free website, so it's worth the $7 or $11 or whatever you got to pay for it.
Yeah. So right now we're going to play another song, and this song is by Carrie Dalby. And after News of the Stupid, we'll talk about it. But for now, here's the song, right?
Yes, and this song is what is used in our usual opening theme and closing theme.
Yes.
The music is.
So here's Carrie Dalby with Everything's a Song.
To paraphrase another saying, if it exists, it's a dementia song. Banana bread, barnyards and library cards, and feet and pads, dispensers and thongs are not only essentials to everyday life, they can also be the topics of songs. Greek restaurants, prom nights and pink traffic lights, and lederhosen and babushkas. If funny music has taught me anything yet, it's that song ideas are limitless, 'cause everything's a song.
Everything's a song. Just take a look around you, you just can't go wrong. Everything's a song. The possibilities may astound you.
Winnebago's got hacks and internet cats, Boba Fett's and hobbits and corn, and grandmas and uncles and four-letter words, and weed and booze and strippers and porn, toenails and cell phones and Al palindromes, and Smurfs and boots and dogs and celebs, Viagra, missing butts and all TV shows, good guys, bad guys, and women named Debbie. Everything's a song.
Everything's a song. Just take a look around you,
you just can't go wrong.
Everything's a song. The possibilities may astound you.
Not every song needs to be about love, but the industry don't want you to know. There's songs on your bathroom floor, songs in your fridge, and every single place that you go. Some say every song's already been written, but open your eyes and take a gaze. There's songs that are wrong, and there's songs about songs, and songs that illustrate all the ways that everything's a song.
Everything's a song. Just take a look around you,
you just can't go wrong.
Everything's a song.
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spices at DevoSpice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, 'cause I'm making soda, means to incriminate.
A 51-year-old Crestview woman who had been warned about calling 911 for non-emergency reasons was arrested January 26th after the fourth call to 911 in 90 minutes. She was calling to report that her husband had taken her cell phone and would not return it, according to her arrest report. When an Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office deputy went to their home after the third call, he attempted to call the number for the phone that had been reported as stolen. He heard it ringing in the room, he wrote in the report. At that time, deputies told her not to call again about the phone. After she called again, she was arrested for abusing the 911 system. When she was searched prior to being placed in the patrol car, the phone was located in her jacket pocket. Shortly after that, 911 dispatchers received the following phone call.
911, what is your emergency?
Yes, I need help. There are strange men at my house. They've put me in handcuffs and they're forcing me to get in their car.
Are they wearing blue?
Yes.
Does their car have flashing lights on the top?
Yes.
Are their names Carl and Frank?
Yes.
Tell them to pick up some more donuts on the way back to the station. Click.
Hello? Hello? Oh, now I have to call 911 to tell them I can't get a response from 911.
A 61-year-old woman carrying her catheter bag chased a man out of her house after he stood over her bed with one of her bras on his head in a frightening midnight home invasion. Ann Sr. got a mighty shock when she woke to discover the man, who had stolen a tub of ice cream and a tin of tuna from her kitchen, standing in her bedroom. The plucky 61-year-old who lives alone picked up her catheter bag and chased the 20-year-old man out of her home following the terrifying break-in. Ms. Senior said she had forgotten to lock her door and wanted to warn others about the dangers of becoming complacent with security. In the made-for-TV movie of this story, the victim will be played by actress Katharine Hepburn. Perhaps the man initially needed the bra to help him carry off two scoops of genuine English cream. No report if this tuna thief has been canned, but we can all agree this bra-headed burglar is a real tit for brains.
Usually, the only thing you need to eat quiche is a hearty appetite, but according to a Tesco supermarket, you should be over 21 as well. At least, that's what the checkout cashier told Christine Cudahy when she took a slice of cheese and onion quiche from the deli to the till. At first, the 24-year-old office worker thought the cashier was joking when she refused to let the sale go through because she, quote-unquote, looked under 21. Eventually, as the shoppers queuing behind her grew restless, an embarrassed Miss Cudahy had to produce her driving license to prove her age. Quote, "The cashier told me, you don't look over 21. I need to see some proof of age. I told her I was certain the proof of age laws do not apply to quiche, but she just said, we have to be really strict now, and this applies to quiche bought over the counter. It was very embarrassing. What on earth is dangerous about a slice of quiche? The irony of the whole thing is that I've bought alcohol from there dozens of times without being asked for ID. I've racked my brains to come up with an explanation, but I can't find one. The whole thing is ridiculous," unquote. Tesco apologized for the incident. A spokesman for the supermarket said shoppers do not have to prove their age to buy quiche. "We're at a loss to say what happened here," the spokesman said. "We couldn't find the staff member who asked for the ID. Age-related prompts are set centrally, and there obviously isn't one on quiche." It's reported the cashier was seen in the parks taking dog food away from chihuahuas because they, quote, "don't look like they're dogs."
And finally, an Oakland County, Michigan man was injured when a sledding stunt went wrong. Sheriff's deputies said the man had a sledding party at his home. Investigators said they were told by witnesses that the 62-year-old man had been drinking when he fashioned a device using a motorcycle muffler, a piece of pipe, gunpowder, match heads, and gasoline. Witnesses said the man strapped the device on his back, donned a makeshift helmet, and got on a sled, asking someone to light a wick attached to the device. Part of the way down the hill, the device exploded, resulting in second-degree burns to the victim's face. One of his eyes was damaged. He is currently getting treatment at a local hospital, the Wile E. Coyote Center for Complete Idiots, a division of Acme Corporation.
Hello, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Mud.
And remember, mud spelled backwards is dumb.
People are stupid, and once again they have proven it. This has been News of the Stupid.
That's all, folks.
Yay! I got through it without a single fumble of the lips. Yes. I'm a regular news time reporter now. You need to step up your game, Mr. Luke Ski.
Sorry. I'm only busy doing everything for everybody all the time!
Yeah, but you wrote it.
Again, falls into the category of Luke does everything for everybody all the time.
That's because you don't have a day job.
That's because I don't have a day job. Okay. Where are we on the... Oh, yeah. We're going to have a new segment called Song Origins, where basically, you know, I make comedy music. Carrie makes comedy music. Some of you who are...
Drink.
Some of you who are fans, you know, maybe wondering, hey, there's this song I really like, but I've always wondered how you got the idea for the song. How did you come up with the idea for that song? So this is us putting out a call to you. If there's particular songs by myself or by Carrie Dalby that you would like to know the backstory of how we came about creating it, let us know by emailing us at badrapport@gmail.com, and we will we'll do our best to answer your question. So to start off this segment, I'm going to mention a certain specific situation that I know happens to other people who make funny music, because many of us funny music makers have day jobs or have had them at some point in their lives where, because of the situation, because they're working in a retail establishment, there's, you know, preset music or a preset video that has to play and repeat over and over again, or you're just, you know, you're near a place where there's a band playing and that band always plays the same music over and over again to the point where your brain just snaps and says,
yeah,
I have to write a parody of this song in order to kill the demon spawn in my brain so that whenever I hear it from now on, I have a defense against it mentally.
When I worked at Toy Store FAO Schwartz, they literally had one song that literally played over and over again all day.
Wow.
Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world of toys. Yeah, all day.
That would be a good song to parody.
I don't ever want to hear it, actually.
So anyway, the two of the songs from my my days in the late 90s, early 2000s came from me working at my caricature stand at Station Casino in Kansas City, which I worked at from January of 97 to about April of 2000. And my caricature stand was located right outside of a place called the Hofbrau House, which basically was a restaurant that, you know, had like its own microbrewery and stuff in it. But in the weekends, in the evening hours, they would always have the dueling piano bar guys up there playing your typical piano bar type of songs. So a couple of the songs that I kept hearing over and over and over again were Bad Bad Leroy Brown by Jim Croce, and of course, Piano Man by Billy Joel. So, Bad Bad Leroy Brown, you know, after you know, me having done Star Wars Trilogy, Homesick Blues, and YODA, I kind of came to this, you know, logical notion of, well, Star Wars Trilogy, Homesick Blues, you know, is, you know, mostly about the first Star Wars movie, even though it covers the whole trilogy. It spends most of its time talking about the first one. And YODA is technically a song about Return of the Jedi. I need a song that covers, for the most part, Empire Strikes Back. And, you know, when I first did YODA and Star Wars Trilogy Homesick Blues, to my mind, Boba Fett was never an important character. Because he's in the movie so little, he barely says anything. And then all of a sudden, with the resurgence of Star Wars popularity, Boba Fett had like this legion of fans who were like, yes, he's the awesomest character ever. I'm like, him? Seriously, he's a C-lister at best. WTF, why does everyone love Boba Fett so much? So I decided to turn Bad Bad Leroy Brown into Bad Bad Boba Fett, which in my opinion completely covered the character. You know, like I've kind of shut the book on Boba Fett. There's nothing else you can say about him. That's everything
until
about
MC
Boba Fett.
Chris came along.
Well, more like until the Star Wars prequels came along, and then there was more to the character of Boba Fett because, you know, young Daniel Logan played Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So there was that, and then about the same time, actually, yeah, in about 99-2000, I moved back to the Wisconsin area in 2000 and began working on a script for a sketch comedy double album. Oh, gee, that sounds familiar. Based on the improvised videos done by me and my friends, which we called Ray TV because it starred our friend Raymond P. Whalen. I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that Ray will be involved with the Nick Adams concert. I don't know if he will, but it'd be nice to see him there. Anyway, We had improvised all these videos from 92 to 96, actually a little bit in 97, I think, too. And then I had condensed all of that material into a sketch comedy double album script that I wrote. It was 123 pages long, called the Rake TV Album, which was supposed to be a day in the life of this fictitious TV station, you know, similar to SCTV in a way, but there were definite differences. One of the running gags in Rake TV was Keanu Reeves, which was usually played by Ray. So, you know, we were going to have the end of the album have like a late night talk show type of thing, like Conan O'Brien time slot talk show, where Ray was trying to get special guests to appear on his show, and one of the guests that appears is Keanu Reeves. And some wackiness ensues with Keanu and Jack Nicholson and stuff like that. So as a bonus track for the Ray TV album, I did a parody of Billy Joel's Piano Man about Keanu Reeves called Keanu Man. And it was never meant to be part of the narrative of the album. It was going to be a bonus track at the end. And I was just trying to work it all out so that me and Jason and Trisha and Ray and Bill and Michael and JT and Mike Guthrie and Brody Railton and Travis Leach, that the whole original cast could all get together and record this album, and it would be the epic, most epic thing ever to record the Ray TV album, and it never happened. And to this day, you know, it's like that was the second time in my life a whole comedic universe I created basically ended up, you know, amounting to nothing. There was the Teenage Comedian comics of my, you know, 87 through 96 that ended up amounting to nothing.
Well, why do you say nothing?
Just
because not that many people have seen it?
Well, it's just kind of more like...
It's a cult.
Imagine if the show The Simpsons never went on the air, but Matt Groening had created it in his mind, and he was walking around for the past 20 years with all that awesomeness in his head, but no one got to share it. That's why it's disappointing to me, is because I could have gone somewhere and done something with that.
I don't think you should feel like it's absolutely nothing.
I don't know. Well, it's not nothing in the sense that it means something to me on the inside, but it's just like, if I, like, Sarah hasn't read any of those Teenage Comedian comics, I don't think.
I read all of them.
Yes. I mean, I'd be curious to show those comics to Sarah, or to Insane Ian, or to, you know, other friends of mine who completely don't know anything about them, and say, here, what do you think of this? Is any of this salvageable or funny in the current society kind of way that I could take this and turn it into something now? You know, yeah. So, and I won't go, and me explaining what the Teenage Comedian comics were, that's a whole other episode.
Hour.
Yes. Yeah. So, so that, and then the Ray TV universe, which basically, you know, like I got the Keanu Man song out of it, anyway, I should move on.
There's some other songs like I Kissed a Squirrel.
I Kissed a Squirrel is all about the characters from Ray TV. So there was that. Anyway, I'll move on really quick. Same category of songs in the workplace. When I moved to Madison, I had to work at a movie gallery, video rental store, where they had the monthly video reel of clips from movies, and one of them was I Am a Man of Constant Sorrow from O Brother, Where Art Thou? And fortunately for me, I really like that song, and I really love the movie O Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
But having to hear it over and over, it just started formulating in my head, you know, I need to do a song about Angel to go along with my Buffy song, so that's where I came up with I Am a Vamp of Constant Sorrow.
But now, like, the coolest time when you performed that, wasn't that at my 27th birthday party when my dad played live acoustic guitar and it was all, like, super loud and energetic and, like, faster than the recording?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then the most recent example of this is the past, you know, year and a half or two that I've been working at Key Lime Cove drawing caricatures. DJ Almondo is primarily to blame for this because he always, at least once a night, if not multiple times a night, plays the cha-cha slide, which I had heard on and off here and there before and kind of thought that was a bit kind of an odd dance track. But after having to hear it over and over again, you know, slide to the left, slide to the right. Crisscross! Break it down now, y'all. Everybody clap your hands. Clap, 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 clap. It was like, you know, 3-4 times a night. I was just like, ah! So I had been formulating in my brain, you know, what to do with that. For a while, I considered doing something along the lines of the Gilbert slide. You know, clap your hands. Crisscross. Move to Albuquerque. I don't know.
Things red.
Oh, sorry. So I thought about that. Then I'm like, nah, I don't want to do the Gilbert thing too much. And then I just kind of decided, well, I'll just start writing some weird surrealist shit and see what I can come up with. You know, hence the Dada slide was born.
Awesome.
And, yeah.
The Dada slide is a good thing. You should go to thefump.com and listen to it. Or thegreatlukeski.com.
Yes.
It was performed live at my wedding, and that was a good part of the
wedding. I was looking through your wedding pictures the other day when I was getting ready to draw your caricature, and there's lots of great pictures of, like, Moonbeam standing doing the happy cow horn to the side, like, moo!
And then there's Emmy in a bridesmaid's gown doing the one-legged thing.
The hyperactive flamingo.
My favorite one is with me in the background as a bride, Ken in a Nixon mask doing the happy cow, holding his fingers to his ears. You gotta listen to the song if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Ken, I need to tell him that. Let's call Ken! Every once in a while, every now and again. Ring! Hello! Let's call Ken! Ding! Okay.
Okay.
Whose phone are we using?
Yours.
We'll use my phone. All right, time to call Ken. Oh, I have a missed call. Was it Ken? No, it was Stephanie. I'll have to call her back later. Because we are not about to start a segment called Let's Call Steph, because the show will be 3 hours long then.
Beep, 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 beep.
I'm just going slow now, so she'll keep making that noise.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
This is my new phone, because...
Ah, your new old phone. Mr. Ken Sherlock, you're being paged. This is your special segment.
Hello.
Hey, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, guys.
You're on Bad Rapport. Aren't you surprised?
I'm surprised when I saw you calling. I was wondering what was going on.
No, you weren't. I said I was going to call in a text message.
I know. I was pretending not to know.
Okay.
What happened to your British accent? Anyway, the main reason I thought to call you is because I need to tell you you need to bring your Richard Nixon mask to MarsCon.
Oh, I figured you were going to. I was planning on bringing it. I figured it would be necessary.
Yeah.
And no, I didn't discuss this with him ahead of time, so...
Yeah. So I figured this was a good enough excuse as any for us to call you.
Yeah, well, I was going to bring... I actually had another purpose for a mask, too, but which I can't really divulge right now at this time.
Okay. Hey, tell everybody what you did on Super Bowl Sunday at the halftime.
Oh, yeah. Well, not wanting to see two guys who didn't die before they get old, I decided to play their songs on Rock Band along with Mr. Tuesday, who decided to join me.
For those of you who don't know, which is maybe some of you, the Who did the halftime show at the Super Bowl, and they also have a set of songs available to play on Rock Band. So instead of watching the live performance of two ancient guys, I'm just trying to clarify.
Yeah, we actually played the songs ourselves, and my daughter was kind enough to film it, and at the end, of course, in the manner of Pete Townsend tradition, I decided to smash my guitar on against the wall. I smashed a broken guitar against the wall, I should say. Not a good one.
First time I've seen someone smash their Rock Band or Guitar Hero guitar in that rock star style.
Yeah, I've not seen anybody else do it, so I figured I might as well. I surprised the heck out of Mr. Tuesday, who didn't know what was happening, and my wife, who was a lot louder than she expected.
I could tell that Mr. Tuesday did not see that coming.
Yeah, I didn't want... And I made sure my daughter was far enough away so she could see it, because if she was in the wrong spot, she would have gotten hit with debris.
Well, she did a very good job filming.
Yes, I know. She was actually pretending she was the character from iCarly, who films at the TV show iCarly, which doesn't have social media. She was like,
"Aww,
Freddy.
Cute."
That's where she got her inspiration for filming.
Aww.
Cool. All right. Well, unless we have something else to say to Ken, we should probably press on with our show.
Well,
here.
This is the last time you'll be on Bad Rapport before MarsCon, because this is our last Bad Rapport before MarsCon.
All right. Well, if you haven't already gone to MarsCon, why not? You should make plans. Actually, I'm trying to discuss plans with my wife and daughter and figure out when exactly they should go. So, hope that I'll see many of you at MarsCon.
Cool.
See you at MarsCon.
See you later, Ken.
Bye. Okay, take care, Luke. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, Gary.
And that was Ken. So,
also known as Ken-tastic.
Yes. So, okay, now for song origins, we go to Carrie Dalby with Everything's a Song.
I picked four songs to describe since Luke picked four songs, but in the future I probably shouldn't pick that many because then I'll run out of songs.
I figure we'll probably just do one song each, you know, based on what we get from fans. Yeah.
But I picked four short ones. Everything's a Song, well, the last one's not short, but the last one's going to be you talking anyways. Everything's a Song was when I was trying to think of a new funny song idea and I was a little stumped. And then I literally started looking around me and I realized that I could make a song about anything. And then I realized I could make a song about making a song about anything and everything. So Dear Brittany literally came to my head. I was walking around during lunch at work, and it literally came into, like, it popped into my head. I don't know, I was thinking about Britney Spears, whatever, she was in the news a lot at the time, and it, once the parody idea popped into my head, unlike my other ideas, I instantly knew I was going to record it, and a few weeks later, I had recorded two versions of Dear Britney, which is a parody of Dear Prudence by the Beatles. Stupid as Charged was a parody of Guilty as Charged by Gym Class Heroes. Now, I'd never heard or listened to Gym Class Heroes before, but I was at rehearsal for opera at Northeastern Illinois University, and I was in the cafeteria area before rehearsal started eating, and they had MTVU on television where they were just playing some weird-ass videos that I'd never seen of groups I'd never heard of. And when I heard Guilty as Charged, I was just kind of immediately captivated by the coolness of both the music and the video, which the video is basically a blaxploitation parody. And I'm guessing even Luke probably hasn't seen the video.
I have not.
So basically, it just came to me that I wanted to parody that song and that it would be nice to parody something current for once. And I paid Bob Eben of Project Sisyphus to make the instrumental. Meanwhile, I'm trying to think of a parody idea, and it actually took me quite a while, and I already had the instrumental before I figured out it was going to be about News of the Stupid, which was on Manic Mondays at the time. And finally, the intro to my CD, Giant Kitten, is something that only Luke can explain.
Well, before we get into that, I wanted to say the thing about Everything's a Song, about the lyrics you wrote for that song, is that you were specifically trying to make references to songs that had been written by other people from the Fump up until that point. So
well,
it was kind of
all of them are Fumpers, and well, and that's all in the second verse only. The first verse is actually random random things that I don't think have songs about them, or not as far as I know, like pink traffic lights and babushkas. But then the second verse is a list of things that there are songs about. So
the track called Giant Kitten Intro, which is at the first track on the album Giant Kitten by Carrie Dalby, was a gift from me to her last year. For your birthday, because we were finishing up the Giant Kitten album at the time. And you've heard us talk and play things before from a man known as T.D. Mischke, who is a Twin Cities talk radio legend, a very funny guy, really nice guy. Had a show on KSTP for, what was it, 16 years or 18 years? The Mischke broadcast. And then after KSTP very heinously fired him, he started a webcast called In the Stream with Mischke that we've been listening to for 11 months. And anyway, the point was, before we knew about this webcast starting, you know, we just knew that Mischke was kind of out of work, not knowing what to do. He was making some YouTube video ads for RF Moeller Jeweler that were really funny. And I thought to myself, well, it would be really awesome if I could get T.D. Mischke to record an introduction for the Giant Kitten album, something along the line of a Godzilla War of the Worlds thing, where T.D. Mischke is the radio man from St. Paul talking about a giant kitten that is terrorizing the countryside, moving from Chicago to St. Paul, because Chicago is where Carrie currently lives and St. Paul is where she's from.
Plus, it's the route to MERSCon.
Yes, and exactly.
For the Dementia Fun Bus, and that is right around the my album was debuted at MERSCon.
So basically, I emailed Mishki. I explained the idea to him. I offered to pay him $100 to record this, you know, as my gift to you, because I thought it would be such a cool way to start the album. And he ended up saying yes, which was really cool. And I got the background music of it from John Mapes, who was posting things at the Turn It Off website for the what is that thing called? I forgot now. The movie, shit. The Score Off Challenge. That's what it was. He was doing tracks for the Score Off Challenge. Let's go to Turn It Off, TURNIDOFF .com, or is it? Just do a search for Turn It Off Records, and you'll find
it. Word.
Yes, and I found a track there that seemed to fit, so I managed to make an edit using that background music along with Mishki's voiceover to create this thing. And Carrie had no idea about it. So when she came over to record some vocals and finish up her album, and, you know, we were talking about...
It was right near my birthday.
Yeah, right near your birthday. And I'm like, okay, I forgot how exactly the conversation went. You were talking about this and that. Well, what are we going to do for the beginning of the album? And I'm like, well, I was thinking something like this. And then I clicked play and played for her. I had made a 2-minute edit of this thing because I figured she'd want it to be shorter than it was. And she just kind of was listening at first
first I was confused.
Thinking like, why is he playing me some old Mishki thing? And then Mishki started talking about a giant kitten. And then it just dawned on you that this is something new with Mishki talking about giant kittens and stuff.
Yes. And then I started to cry because I thought it was that cool. I was very touched by the gift, and Luke had was full of win on the Carrie's 31st birthday gift last year.
So, and this year totally failed. No,
no, no. But you weren't the winner. You weren't the grand winner.
Okay, at least I won for 1 year, so I have that going for me. But then after playing the 2-minute edit, she's like, "I want to hear the whole thing." So then I played the whole thing, which didn't have the background music, which is like, whatever it is, 3.5 minutes long.
And I felt it made more sense as a whole thing than the edit.
So then I made another edit that had the John's music behind the whole thing, and that's what ended up on the album.
Yep.
So
speaking of Mishki,
we're going to play a track from him right now, and would you like to say why?
Mishki's webcast in the stream recently ended. It had an 11-month on the dot run. And he got, I don't think he was not like, it was not like last time where he was let go, which, by the way, the station he used to work for is now a all sports station.
Yeah, I love that, because they used to be like a right-winger talk radio station, and he was the one kind of left-winger lone nut on the station, you know.
And now it's nothing but sports talk, except the one popular show, Garage Logic, I guess still exists, but I guess all the other... Everything else is sports only.
And the reason they fired him from the first time, before they became a sports only station, was because they were trying to get McDonald's to buy some huge advertising contract with the station.
And they didn't tell Mishki or the other hosts that, and Mishki was going off on a rant against McDonald's.
Which is something he did periodically, you know, talking about how it's all, you know, processed freaking food and stuff like that. And, you know, so basically they looked for a, you know... They started watching Mishki like a hawk, looking for him to break some small FCC rule so they could justifiably fire him so that they could, you know, get their contract with McDonald's, you know, and I'm assuming that eventually is part of the whole, you know, Twins baseball package deal that led up to
who knows
them
I
bailing
really
on
don't,
the
but,
on, yeah.
But I mean, you know, he turned out to be the first in everyone except for Joe Soucheray losing their jobs on that station. But in this case, in his webcast ending, and his webcast became a really interesting thing to listen to, but he was just getting burnt out on being his own producer and having to work so much harder than he did when he was just in radio for something that wasn't listened to by as many people. And he did have
listeners, like, you know, in at least like the numbers around like 1,800 between listening live and the people who subscribe to the podcast. So he did have a decent following.
I don't think we're supposed to know that. But anyways, you know, a lot less than listen to him in radio. And, you know, He's burnt out, so he's taken some other ship to some other destination.
So yeah, he mentioned something about maybe doing a video related project, something that might end up on local television in the Twin Cities. He says that he's open to the idea of returning to radio at some point because
no compete clause is up.
Yeah, the no compete clause is up. So maybe he'll return to Twin Cities Radio. I hope he does. And no matter what he does, cool. I hope things turn out good for him. So in honor of Mishki, I listened to a lot of tracks from his old show, which are up at a website called
You're Completest Fan Nut.
Yeah, well, plus once I got hooked on like podcasts, you know, I decided, well, there's more stuff I want to listen to, and then I found the Mishki archive website, and I'm like, well, I can just always have Mishki stuff on backup, so if there's nothing else I have to listen to, I can listen to old episodes from, you know. So right now I'm up to like late 2005, and Derek
still in the 90s, I think.
Yeah, Derek Larson, who does the Mishki Madness website, had an episode, or he basically had his top 11 in his opinion Mishki bits of all time, and you know, they wouldn't have been the bits I would have chosen, but there was one there that I thought was particularly funny.
And I'm getting my headphones on to listen to it.
Yeah, where Mishki, you know, even though it's against FCC rules, he used to do this all the time, where he'd basically just call, he'd, you know, kind of do the prank phone call thing, you know, not exactly like Jerky Boy style or whatever, but, you know, he had a real interesting way of doing stuff like this. So this is him making a phone call to someone on the, like, east side of St. Paul or whatever, just at random on a day when he was talking about the Hindenburg. It must have been the anniversary of when the Hindenburg blew up or something like that, which was why he was on the topic. So here's T.D. Mishki from back in the old days on KSTP, the Mishki broadcast. Here we go.
Hello?
Hi, east side of St. Paul?
Yes?
Yeah. Mishki calling from AM 1500 KSTP.
And what is that?
That's a radio station?
Mm-hmm.
And we're giving away a dirigible tonight, if you can tell us what year the Hindenburg went down.
Hold on.
What year did the Hindenburg went down? You get a prize for it, some radio station.
What was it again?
What year did the Hindenburg go down?
What year did the Hindenburg go down? You get a prize.
1938.
Oh! He was off by 1 year.
32?
Yep.
32?
Yeah, 1 year off only. Wow, close. I tell you what, we'll send you fabric from the dirigible, and you guys can make your own.
You were gussing my mom doing the program.
No, I wasn't. I swear to God, I wasn't. Hello?
Can I talk to who? Hit the panic button. Hit the panic button.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Who? What the heck's going on over there?
No, it's just that this girl drank my Mountain Dew, okay? And I just bought it.
No, I didn't.
Is there an adult in charge?
Yeah.
Who? Could I speak to them, please?
I am an adult.
You, how old are you?
18.
No kidding. Who's the fella in the background?
That's a girl. Drank my pop.
Could I speak to your father?
Yes. Who is this?
Doug Henning.
Where are you calling from?
The Muppets.
The what?
The Muppets.
Oh, they're watching the Music Awards.
This is worth $10,000. Do you think he could get off his fat ass to possibly win 10 grand?
Are you serious? Go get Jim. Hold on, okay?
You call your dad by his first name?
Huh? That's not my dad.
Well, where is your father?
The person... Go get your dad, Beaner.
Beaner?
Beaner!
Is Beaner the bastard who took the dew?
That's his nickname. Go get Jim.
Is he talking about people here?
Hold on. Tell Jim.
Well, tell Laura.
Tell Laura to win $10,000 to get on the phone. It's a radio station.
I don't know if I said that. I can't remember what I said there.
All right, then I'm going to hang up then.
No, I'm talking to my producer, not you. He was asking me a question.
Come on!
It's the radio station, I swear to God, and everything I love. On my son it is.
What do you want?
The Muppet something? They wanted to go.
Hello?
Hello? For real, I'm so serious.
Okay.
No, they just said, and they were making fun of Beaner's name.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. I guess we're going to give the cash to another family.
Hello?
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 Hello? Hello, can I help you?
Hello?
Hello, can I help you?
Yeah? Who is it?
The Muppet's radio station.
No, I was called by some woman. I did not make this call. Some woman called me, and there's some kids screwing around on the phone. Can you tell me what's going on, please?
Yes.
He said some kids called him, and the kids are playing around and screwing around on the phone.
Some kids called him?
Yeah.
No, they just called here.
He said you just called here. It's a radio station.
No, these kids just called me and claimed they were a radio station. I'm sitting here enjoying a meal with my wife, trying to figure out what the hell's going on here.
You think you kind of did?
I don't know what you folks are up to, but, yeah, I'd like to get back to my dinner if that's all right.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's pretty funny.
Who is this? Doug Henning. Who are you calling from? The Muppets. Oh, God. No. Anyway, so TD Mischke, we salute you. You are awesome.
Salute.
Salute. All right. Time for... Oh, God. It's my segment. Even I'm saying, oh, God. Luke rants incessantly about some bullshit his brain won't shut up about.
Maybe not incessantly this time.
Okay. This is something I've talked about before on other shows that I won't say the name of, but do you guys remember back in the late 80s and early 90s, the sitcoms that were on ABC television? I'm talking about Perfect Strangers,
yep.
Full House,
yep.
Family Matters,
yep.
Step by Step.
Yep.
Those shows, and I'm sure there were others, I don't know who was writing them, but they had some of the laziest, shittiest writers ever. And, you know, and it's, you know, at the time, I loved these shows. They were great. I would watch them all the time. I would set the VCR for them.
Yeah,
if I was going out, Luke Sienkowski, would willingly set a VCR to record Full House because it was important to me to not miss Full House.
Full House is one thing, man. Step by Step was pretty bad, though.
Step by Step was one of those shows that was kind of like in between like Full House and Family Matters, so they had like two better shows on either side, so
yeah.
You just kind of muddled through it back before DVRs made all that shit kind of not as important anymore.
But they had the cool roller coaster thing in the beginning.
Okay, so first of all, there's certain things they'd always do. One thing was they'd repeat the exact same concept for a show from one sitcom, and then they would wait a year and then do the same thing on another sitcom, and nobody fucking noticed. Like, oh, look, Balky Bartokomus is going to do a rap song and have a rap video and be a star in that sense on this episode of this season of Perfect Strangers. Ha ha, that's so great and funny. Don't be ridiculous, etc. A year later, on Family Matters, oh look, Steve Urkel is going to do a rap song and be a big star. And, you know, it's the exact same plot.
Yeah.
You know, different show. So there was that. By the way, here's a quick side note. And I'm the only person who, once again, I'm the only person who remembers shit like this in detail. I'm trying to remember how it worked. In speaking in terms of, like, you know how like Marvel comics take place all in the same universe and DC comics take place in the same universe?
Yeah.
Family Matters, Step by Step, and Perfect Strangers all took place in the same universe.
Yeah, I remember a little crossover.
Yeah.
I don't remember any details about it, but...
Yeah, because the cop character Carl started out as a character... Well, actually, him and his wife were both characters on Perfect Strangers.
Right.
They were ancillary characters, and they lived in Chicago. And then Family Matter, those two got spun off into their own show where suddenly Steve Urkel became the star. And then there was an episode of Family Matters where Steve Urkel made some rocket backpack, and he ended up flying off into the sky, and then you tune in to the next episode that was on, which was Step by Step, and he, like, crashes in their lawn in you know, Port Washington, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
By the way, how sad is it that I know that the family from Step by Step lived in Port Washington, Wisconsin, which is a real city just north of Milwaukee?
Well, you know, being from Wisconsin, maybe there's other people from Wisconsin who know that.
There was also an episode where Carl kept talking about wanting to go on a vacation to Lake Geneva, which I always thought that was cool because it showed that somebody there knew that that's where people from Chicago go to vacation, is Lake Geneva. So anyway, yeah, so there was the repeats of the same premise from season to season on different shows. The second thing that pissed me off was thievery, where they would just blatantly take shit from pop culture, put it on their show, and not even, like, change the name of it or being like, oh, we're parodying this. They would just do it. Like, there was a character on... Step by Step was really, really fucking bad with this. There was a character on the show whose one of the sons was named JT. And so when Wayne's World was popular, he suddenly did his own cable access TV show called JT's World. And the theme song was, JT's World, awesome, party time, excellent! You know, like, they literally were doing
I
shit.
I think I remember that.
They even said, like, oh, it's like Wayne's World, but it's JT's World. Well, and they would just do it for, like, multi-episode arcs, and it's like, you fuckers!
Yeah.
It's like, for one episode, fine.
I think I remember that. That was bullshit.
For one episode, fine. But you can't steal somebody else's intellectual material and then turn it into, a running, story arc plot line on your fucking sitcom, you assholes.
Coincidentally, my mom, Josh, and I watched Wayne's World yesterday and the day before.
Yes. and the even worse example of that same thing on Step by Step was Beavis and Butthead. When Beavis and Butthead became popular, suddenly there were two ancillary characters that were friends of JT's that kept showing up, that were wearing AC/DC and Metallica t-shirts, who looked like Beavis and Butthead, and the characters' names were Beavis and Butthead. They didn't even fucking change the characters' names!
I don't remember
Even
them.
For the sake of parody or legal safety, they didn't say, oh, it's Beaver and Buttface. No, Beavis and Butthead were characters on Step by Step, live action, for multiple episodes, and nobody did a fucking thing to stop them. ABC didn't stop them, MTV didn't stop them, it's fucking, God damn it!
Yeah.
Fucking thieves! Comedy thieves piss me off!
That was a horrible show, wasn't it?
And here, okay... My song Pamela, the one about Pamela Anderson from Shadows of the Bunghole from 1996.
Yeah.
I have a line in that song where I say something like, something about Pamela Anderson's hair being designed by Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah.
And I did it and I recorded the song, and then it wasn't until after that that I realized, shit, that was a line from a Simpsons thing where Apu was singing a song about Marge when he was living in their house, about Marge's hair being designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And that made me feel so ashamed and dirty and wrong. And to this day, it still fucking bothers me. I stole a joke. I pulled a Robin Williams. I stole a joke and pretended like it was my own. And I can't go back and change it. I can't change the lyric. I can't put it in liner notes. Oh, by the way, this joke it was accidentally stolen from The Simpsons. It bothers me.
I felt really ashamed when I said the line, I drove my Miata. And then I found out later there's no such thing as a Miata. It's a Miata.
Oh, well,
it was a definite sinking feeling, like, oh, fuck.
Well, yeah, but that's
it was
different.
After
that
I
was a
it.
Yeah, that was more of a like finding out that George Takei's George Takei is actually pronounced George Takei.
Yeah. Still, you
know?
That was really
but that was unintentional. Well, I don't know. It's just
it was all unintentional.
Fucking, but yeah, but stealing shit. I mean, stealing Beavis and Butthead is fucking intentional. I'm sorry.
But yours just was like a one line one off in a song.
So.
That,
Here's the third aspect, and it's when ABC got bought by Disney, suddenly every sitcom went to Disney World. Now, I don't mind that because I like Disney, as we've established. What would piss me off, and this is the kind of thing Sarah would roll her eyes at, so much so it would sound like a bowling alley. You're watching Roseanne, and there they are in the Magic Kingdom. Castle's behind, they're in the Magic Kingdom. You know, blah, 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 talking this and that. Oh, I'm going to meet Dan, and we're going to get lunch. You know, cut to the next scene, supposedly the same day, supposedly only 20 minutes later. There they are in the World Showcase at Epcot. They're two completely fucking different parks! You have to take a monorail or a tram. It's like such a hassle to get from one park to the other. It's completely fucking illogical, and they're making it seem like, oh, Disney World, everything's all in one place.
Yeah,
no, it fucking isn't.
That's actually literally what I thought until you explained it to me, in recent years.
Yeah, so it's like...
I literally didn't even know that.
I mean, I enjoy those shows. I think it's kitschy and it's cute, and of course it's crass commercialism, but I don't fucking mind because I like Disney, and I'm pretty fucking unapologetic about me liking Disney and their products and their parks and their movies and most of what they do. But I won't get off on that particular rant, defending Disney, but...
Well, I feel like this show is super Luke-heavy. I guess that's what we do when we let you just go off without a time limit.
Well, let me talk about this thing, and then you'll be able to talk about all this stuff.
Yeah, but this is all your stuff.
Well, you're the one who said you wanted to talk about it.
Well, I think we should only have one rant per show. Can that one wait? Is it like recently provoked?
It is recently provoked because basically it doesn't even really fully belong in the rants incessantly about some bullshit is brainwashed up about, in the sense of this isn't a thing I've been talking about for years. This is something that I've noticed like within the past 5 months. So I haven't really ranted about it to anybody else yet, but I couldn't think of where else to stick it in the show, so I put it there.
Okay.
While I'm talking, you can be thinking of what to say.
I already know what I'm going to say.
Well, all right then. There's a mall near here where I live, where I moved into in October, the Golf Mill Mall. It's actually a pretty decent mall, and I dig it. I was hanging out there.
I've been there briefly.
There's a store there called Toyland. Toyland! And it's obviously used to be a KB Toy Stores way back in the day, but KB Toy Store, I think, have gone out of business at this point.
Another store that I used to work at, KB Toys.
Yes. So it's like in whatever the old KB toy place was, it's now Toyland. And the first time I went there, I noticed that a lot of the toys up the front windows were Star Wars toys that came out in like 99, like like 12-inch figures of the Gungan general and his weird ostrich thing that he rides on, like still in their box unopened. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of odd. That's a really old toy to be up on display. Like, hey, come in here and buy our toys. It's like, you know, it's
well,
like
Star
eBay
Wars
or a garage sale.
Kids.
So anyway, I looked around this store and I noticed the first time I was there a lot of like these weird Japanese knockoff toys where basically it's like they grab some molds of like, you know, various superheroes they can find, package them and put them all together and like, you know, superhero fun pack. And it's like, you know, Superman, the Hulk, Mr. Incredible, and Shrek, you know, and boom, they're selling all four of them in one pack.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen those at like state and county fairs and stuff that's kind of cheap knockoff for and stuff. And it's like, all right, whatever. I didn't think too much of it. I went back there recently and I went to their action figure wall, which has like, you know, action figures from like Kung Fu Panda or, you know, this, that, and the other. And I noticed a Popeye action figure that was made a few years ago. And I'm like, oh, Popeye. Maybe I'll buy that as a gag gift for Shoebox because I know he doesn't like Popeye. So I go down to see, you know, grab the thing because I'm thinking I'm going to buy it. Price tag. This is, okay, your regular run-of-the-mill action figure. Cardboard back in a blister pack action figure, you know? $24.99.
What?
This is not like a special edition Todd McFarlane, you know, repaint that you have to get through Toy Fair magazine and it's rare. It's fucking Popeye.
Yeah.
You know, in his sea coat, you know, his navy fucking sailor sea coat version of Popeye, $24.99. Then I started looking up and noticing the Kung Fu Panda figures were all $19.99.
What?
And I'm like looking around at all these figures and all of their prices are like that expensive. I'm like, these are shitty old toys that other toy stores wouldn't buy. Why are you trying to sell them for $24.99?
Then I looked. Trying to pretend they're antiques.
No, they're just pretending to pretend like this is our toy store. Welcome to the mall. Here's how much our toys cost. It's you know. And then I started looking at like the knockoff figures that I just mentioned, which were right next to them. I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe this company is run by people who are not from America and don't understand how things work here and that these toys really aren't popular and that if they want to sell them, they need to mark them down to like $5 each.
Yeah.
You know? And then here's the weird irony, opposite kind of like the opposite end of the spectrum. There's these, you know, Japanese toy companies will like often, like I said, get molds of like other things. So they get molds of like Transformers or GoBots or things that are like that and like re-release them with different colors and just be like, you know, action robot set or whatever. So I went to another aisle. They had all six of the Constructicons that form Devastator. They didn't list them as Transformers, but I know what they fucking are. It's like, yep, that's all six of them.
Yeah.
There's the head, there's the body. They were more of an orangey yellow than a greeny yellow, and the purple parts were black. But basically, it's Devastator.
Yeah.
All in one box. All six figures in one box with the accessories, $14.99. I'm like, wait, what? This costs Devastator costs less than Popeye. What the fuck? So, Yeah, so that was my adventure at Toyland. Toyland! So, yeah.
Seen any good movies lately? There's no good movies out right now.
Oh, there's no good.
Irritating?
There's no good movies out right now, and that sucks. And I saw Tooth Fairy, motherfucker.
We thought it was... We were joking about this yesterday at my birthday lunch that we thought it was funny that Hollywood is so disappointing right now that even a guy that purposely saw Tooth Fairy isn't interested in any of the movies that are currently out.
And before you all heinously mock me, I love Billy Crystal. I will see anything Billy Crystal is in. And the matinee price I paid to see Tooth Fairy, to see Billy Crystal in his two scenes, was worth it.
Tooth Fairy.
Yes. Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson as a Tooth Fairy. And I willingly paid money to see that. And yet, me and Sarah had date night the other night. We looked at what was playing in the movie theater and we're like... You know, like,
yeah.
We're in Chicago. There's, like, you know, probably 30 different movies we could be seeing, and everything's like, you know, because everything that was good that came out months ago, we already saw.
So if there's a good movie that's, like, really currently out in first-run theaters that we should know about, please tell us.
I want to see that...
I want to see a good movie.
That movie with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan called Cop Out, that was written and or directed by Kevin Smith, so I definitely want to see Cop Out.
Oh.
It's kind of a parody of, you know, buddy cop movie type things, but...
Man, that was bullshit what happened to Kevin Smith.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure you guys have heard all about it, but you should download the Smodcast episode where he talks about it, because it's just way more interesting to listen to him talk about it than to listen to us talk about it.
I should totally do that.
Yes, you should.
So now it's time for What Would We Do If...
And this is changing into, because I think this is due to because Luke actually has time and I don't, but this is a broadening where instead of what would we do if we had the time, it's going to be what would we do if we had the time and or money.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to go with what would I do if I had the time? I would actually get sleep. When I had my honeymoon with Josh in, you know, June... And, you know, I actually had full weeks off from work for that and including the wedding. And I actually got 8 hours of sleep a night for like a week and a half. And I just felt normal for once. And then all of a sudden Monday or whatever rolls around and I had to go back to work and I had to get up at 5:30 and it was really painful. So if I was willing to cut more things out of my life and I had the time, I would actually get decent sleep. And perhaps there will be a situation in my future where I will need to make it a priority, but right now I'm just not getting enough sleep. What would you do if you had the time and or money?
Man, it's...
Sky's the limit. What would you do? I hadn't thought of anything.
I didn't know I was supposed to. I kind of felt like I already have so much else to say in this show.
Yeah,
I should just put it off.
Yeah, you can shut up.
We'll skip me for this time.
Okay. So, what's Luke plugging now?
As read by Carrie.
So sing the song for that.
What's Luke plugging now? Yeah. What's at the Fump? What's at that Fump? Funny music, buddy. What's at the Fump? Funny music. Twice a week.
And right now, you can, for free still, download Tom Smith's Cheap Ass Cyborg, Mark Gunn's The Naughty Wench, Steve Goody's Fuzzy Navel, The Boobles, Oh Won't You Show Your Cans, Nuclear Bubble Wrap's Bare Facts, TV's Kyle's Grumble D, RobertLondonSpaff.com's Uranus, and Money Shot Cosmonauts featuring the Sea Monkeys, Hookin' for Drugs in All the Wrong Places. And also, at the Fump Sideshow, we highly recommend our friend Insane Ian's song.
Insane Ian!
Dig Dug.
Dig Dug by Insane Ian!
Which is an awesomely done, well done, awesomely cool song. That
Insane Ian is awesome! Woo! Ian!
And since you didn't break these down very much, you're going to have to talk about the rest.
Mid-South Con, I have neglected to mention that and I feel really bad about it, but I am in fact performing at Mid-South Con out in the Memphis area, which is the weekend following Mars Con. So I got Mars Con followed by, I got to drive to the Twin Cities one weekend and I got to drive to Memphis the weekend after that. So, whee! But,
poor baby, you're deported. I'm tearing up for you.
So, yes, those of you who are in the Memphis area, please come check me out. Also, I believe Mark Gunn's going to be there, too. So, yeah, a lot of fun. It's a great con run by great people, so please check out Mid-South Con, their website. If I remember correctly, is midsouthcon.org. If not, go to lukeski.com and you can find a link to it. MarsCon, I just finished making the other day the t-shirt design for the Dark Lords and Femme Fatales t-shirt of the Dementia track. So if you would like to order your own and get it in your hands before you leave for the convention, please go to whatever link I put up at lukeski.com. It's
super organized. Luke is super organized. That's what super organized Luke does.
It is dementiaradio.spreadshirt.com/MarsCon, or as I said, go to lukeski.com and you can just click on the link from there. So yeah, it's got all of the Dementia Track artists performing this year as with cartoons as various Dark Lords or Femme Fatales, including myself as Iago from Aladdin, because I had Devo Spice as Jafar, and Carrie. And
I get to be Dr. Girlfriend, which for some reason I don't actually own a Dr. Girlfriend costume, partially because I don't watch the show that it's from, but I still love the outfit so much.
And you'd have to talk like this if you're really going to be Dr. Girlfriend.
Well.
Because her voice sounds exactly like this, pretty much.
I think I can talk like that for a little while.
And then you'd show up at opera rehearsal. Okay, let's start.
That'll work.
Okay. So, yeah. And then, I won't do the whole rundown, but I want to mention some things that are happening at MarsCon.
This is the last chance.
Yep. MarsCon is happening March 5th through 7th in the Twin Cities. It's got the Dementia Track. Lots of awesome stuff happening. You can get the whole Dementia Track schedule at MarsConDementia.com.
And if you can make last-minute plans to go, you wouldn't be the first to do so. So go ahead and do it.
For the love of freaking God, get to MarsCon. You will not regret it. So a few things I want to mention. The Space Oddity Brew Pub and Club, or the Brew Club and Pub. One of those two things. Space Oddity Brew Club and Pub, which is Beth Kinderman and her friends from the Feng Shui Ninjas last year did a basically filkish room party up on the 13th floor and offered some concerts by some more acoustic leaning acts and some other people who didn't have a chance to get shows in the main stage, and it was such a great success that they're bringing it back again this year. I don't know what room number they have, but all the room parties are on the 13th floor, so just wander around. I'm sure you'll find it. On Saturday night, if you would like an alternative to the awesomeness, which is Cirque du Soleil, Luke Ski, Devo Spice, and the Gothicals, you can go to the Space Oddity Brew Pub and Brew Club and Pub and see at 9:30 p.m. Gifted Gear, 10 p.m. Beth Kinderman and the Player Characters, 11 p.m. the Feng Shui Ninjas, at midnight Toy Boat, the awesome electric comedy rock folk people who do sci-fi things, but I'm not calling them Filk Band. Because if I call them Filk, Eric will hit me with a shovel.
Oh, I thought they were a Filk rock cover.
No!
I'm sorry.
Do not say it or Beetlejuice will come and take our souls.
I didn't get the memo on that.
Neither did I. Anyway, and then at 1 p.m. a group called the Potential Slayers, and I have not heard of them, but they will be there.
They are Potential Slayers.
Yes, everyone is Potential Slayers. Then, of course, obviously, on the 13th floor, the Dementia Radio room party is happening. It'll be in room 1313. Woo! I like that number. Right next door will be Rob Balder's Earthworld room party in 1314. So, Party Rob Balder will be in effect, bouncing back and forth between the two.
Party on, Rob. On, Bill.
Exactly. Some point during the weekend, we don't know.
Vlad?
At some point during the weekend, we don't know exactly when. We will be showing the 2010 installment of Dementia SmackDown Wrestling Battle Royal, in which Commissioner JP Tuesday and Duke Flyboy DuJour will be providing live commentary to a wrestling match, a virtually created wrestling match featuring all of the, not all, I guess, literally, but a great percentage of all the comedy music acts represented. And here's a side note, technology-wise, the newer incarnations that I'm explaining, so
I know
for later.
I already know.
All right, then I won't say it.
I'll be hiding in a corner with a tear in my eye, covering up my pathetic genitals.
Okay.
Can we
name this episode Pathetic Genitals?
Yes. I actually would have thought I would have been happier with like a, like, you know, male incarnation of Carrie than I am with not being included at all. But, you know, okay. I just have the wrong genitals.
Well, yell at the people who make the video games. I know. It's not me or Jared's fault. Anyway, So, also on the 13th floor, there'll be Karaoke Joe's doing karaoke all night with Ben and Dove and the crew in room 1306. Also, right across the hall from the Dementia Radio Room party will be the AV Club movie room, where Earl Wingard Lucas will be playing Cinematic Delights to tantalize your eyes. So, that's room 1340. Speaking of that room, Saturday morning at 10 a.m., we will be showing in that room Mystery Spatula Theater 11, the Dungeons & Dragons episode. And that is not a new episode. It came out a few years ago. But what we're going to do is show a shortened version of Dungeons & Dragons so it gets done in time for us to show a 20-minute short, and we're going to riff that live. So there will be some new content from Mystery Spatula Theater 11. Myself, Carrie, and Matt Doohan will be riffing live a new short film. It's an industrial safety in the workplace movie made in the 70s, and it's so ripe for riffing on. So that will start at approximately 11:40 a.m., but if you want to see Dungeons & Dragons, you show up at 10 a.m., and I'm assuming we're going to have breakfast there again. I don't know for sure. I need to talk with Matt on that. So there's that. There's the Dementia Fan Showcase on Sunday morning. If you want to participate and perform funny stuff for a group of people who will think that you're awesome, then show up at Karaoke Joe's on the 13th floor on Sunday morning at 11 a.m., bring your background music or whatever you need, and DJ Particle will be hosting. You put your name in a hat. Everyone pulls their name out of the hat, taking turns, and then once we get through everybody in the hat, we go through the whole list again and give everyone chances to perform. So if you would like to perform...
95% sure you'll hear from both Blasted Bill Putt and Ken Madman Sherlock at that performance.
Yes. So that's always a lot of fun. The MarsCon Dementia Track fundraiser still does exist. I haven't been harping you about it lately, but we did hit our initial goal, but there are other kind of more minor expenses that, personally, you know, me and Sarah can't really afford to be taken out of our own pockets, but we have been. So if you haven't bought the MarsCon Dementia Track fundraiser CD sets or MP3 sets yet, and you were thinking about getting it, you can still order it. We'll ship it off to you ASAP. You can download it ASAP. And it would help us out. So please go to MarsConDementia.com and check out the fundraiser stuff. It still helps. And we already mentioned Cirque du Soleil. It's going to be dropping like a megaton bomb at MarsCon Saturday night, 10 p.m., beginning the R-rated Saturday night block. You're going to love it. And go to CirqueDuSoleil.net or BaconNipples.com to pre-order the CD and get the bonus CD that you can only get by pre-ordering it before MarsCon. So,
and next time, the What's Luke Plugging Now segment will not be that long.
Because MarsCon will be over by then, yes. We'll be plugging PenguinCon.
Yes.
Yes. So, that's about it for that. What's on the thing? What shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
Well, I'm wearing this shirt that I got from a Gothicals concert a few years back. It kind of looks like a shirt that What's-Her-Face from Nightmare Before Christmas would wear. It's all like patchworky looking with paisley on it. And it has three different colors, maroon, light blue, and a slightly peachy, slightly perfect Carrie pink.
Cool. Well, at this point in the show, we need to add more time because we're about to run out.
Okay, pause.
Pause. And that was the point at which we attempted to add more time to the podcast, and then everything went to hell. So, we're going to save the True Tales of Ignorance stories I had for this week for the next episode. In the meantime, I want to remind everyone that you can go ahead and make comments at badrapport.com, and you can leave us messages at 916-LukeSki. And also send us email messages for things you don't want to have read on the air to badrapport@gmail.com. And also feel free to make a review of the podcast on iTunes. We'd really appreciate that. One more final thing before we get to the last comedy track of this episode is that Carrie and I have decided at some point in time, we're not exactly sure when, maybe before the end of this year, we don't know, we want to put out a CD of the best of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. So for that, what we need to know from you, our loyal listeners, what bits did we do that you thought were really, really funny? Like, what had you, as they say on the Scope Show, literally laughing out loud
you know, like what bits were the funniest. So if you could email that to badrapport@gmail.com, let us know what bits did you think were like super incredibly funny. What bits had you having to stop whatever you were doing or pull your car over to the side of the road because you were laughing so hard at what happened. So whatever those are off the top of your head, you know, or if you really want to be committed about it, like say, for example, if you have a big road trip ahead of you because you're traveling to somewhere in the upper north Midwest for a comedy music festival and you have some time to listen to things on the way there, and especially if your name is Ian, you could listen to all of the episodes over again, you know, and tell us, you know, on the second take what stuff you thought was the best stuff. You know, you don't have to, you don't, you know, we're not holding you to anything, anybody out there, but, you know, it's just something that would help us out down the road if Carrie and I are going to put out this best of, to really know what you guys felt were the best, funniest moments, and to continue to tell us those moments as we continue on for the rest of the foreseeable future. Anyway, so, once again, as your reward for getting through this extra long episode that was almost lost, not to mention episode 9.5, which was another 40 minutes in and of itself, here is the very first time I think any of our material has been being heard anywhere. Here is Cirque du Soleil, track 1 from the new album, Progressiveness of the Apocalypse. Once again, go to CirqueDuSoleil.net or BaconNipples.com to pre-order the CD and get the bonus disc that goes with it if you want it before MarsCon. Here it is, Devo Spice, Shoebox, Chris Mazzaletta, and the great Luke Ski. We are Cirque Du So What. Thanks a lot. This has been Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode 10. Peace.
I mean, I put together the Oddfest, a kick-ass show in New York City, promote the hell out of it, buy theoddfest.com to let everyone know about it, get Red Peters to host it, and what happens? First, there's a terror threat. Then, the biggest freaking thunderstorm in the history of New York City. Nobody shows! We play to an empty room!
Yeah, that sucked.
It just drives home what we all already know about our chosen field.
You mean that all of our songs wind up on various file-sharing programs with misspelled titles credited to Weird Al?
No. That God hates comedy musicians.
God. If only there was some way around that.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know. Like, maybe if instead of putting out a comedy music album, we do something different. Something without music.
Shoebox, this isn't your idea about how we should do a dramatic reading of all the ingredients in our favorite General Mills cereals, is it?
Guys, how about instead of that, we do a sketch comedy record?
Yes, we can re-unleash our dementia-ass selves in the world full-on frantic style.
Yeah, Luke, you can be the egomaniacal uber geek. I'll be the enormous long-haired maniac. Chris can be the one with all the voices, and Devo... you can be in it, too!
Right! And the important thing is, no matter what we do, we don't do any songs.
No way!
Not a one.
Except this one.
Okay, you guys ready for us to sing our song?
Yeah!
Let's do it!
Okay, Luke!
Grok, Spock, and ready to rock!
You ready, Devo?
Word, dog, or something.
You ready, Chris?
Yeah.
You ready, Shoebox?
Shoebox?
Shoebox!
Dude! Your shoebox.
Oh, yeah. But, guys, I can't rap.
Oh, for God's sakes. It's just talking over music, for crying out loud. Anybody could do it.
All right, I'll try.
Cool. Here we go.
Red-headed asthmatic from New Jersey in the sticks. Devo Spice is the icing on the moldy cake mix. Bringing nerdcore and comedy together, cause I wanna be the first one to get the funny rap Grammy nominee. Like that'll ever happen. Still, I keep rapping. I don't know when to quit, so my lips just keep flapping. And I keep digging in my mental quarry just to find some rhymes about diarrhea, gonorrhea, and Atari. I'm the one who gets the job done when everyone else is giving up. I say, fine, I'll do it myself. But that's more than just a motto, that's my company's name. Fight 'em, interact, doing music and games. Play with my kids during the day, but when they go to bed at night, I'm free to play with myself. Wait, that didn't come out right. But now you know what? I'm playing with these other nuts, doing circus or what? So hey, Shoebox, you're up!
Best to the whole box, standing on my soapbox, bulging in my pants like my balls are full of Botox, telling her who come near.
Shit, fuck, death, beer!
And mentioning nipples like if I stop, they'll disappear. Yeah, I got my long hair, bitch, it's a statement. I wear it for the sneers of trendy steers who be hating it. Hot topic, fat bitches think I'm a tool. Here's a straw, drop my dolphin, you can suck on my stool. But enough about what's on my head, let's dig beneath the brow. 12, he's a software engineering know-how. I'm a freak by the foot, but I'm a geek by a mile. Paste his lyrics in the sequels, plus a shit'll compile.
What is it, art?
Yeah, fuckers, I make it look easy. Though my words may be sleazy, though my stuff may be cheesy. I'm a satirical, lyrical miracle on a stick. With enough not a shtick to make us like to get sick. A gung!
See, Shoebox, that wasn't so hard, was it? Shoebox? Shoebox? Shoebox!
Can't
Breathe. I'm Celeste is the moniker. I'm all about music. Got a radio voice, and I'm not afraid to use it. Studied Bach, Stravinsky, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis. With my music degree, I could get a job at Avis. Yo, 4 years at the conservatory. Same old story. Sluts, boy bands, and rappers getting all the glory. Had to change the course, had to make a better choice. Now I'm selling K-O-Pectate with nothing but my voice. Uh-oh. I was a crazy Miss Celeste back in school. Doing Warner Brothers cartoons, word for word, trying to be cool. Well, who knew what I could do could be a big breakthrough. So fuck you, I'm coming through, rocking for the Dementia Crew. Sure, I may be fat and old, but I'm the mother load when it comes to comedy gold. So if you don't know what to do and you're sitting on your butt, have a bowl of power salad or some Cirque du Soleil.
Look up in the sky.
Spell S-K-Y.
It's me, Luke Ski.
Spell S-K-I.
If you call me Luke Sky, then expect me to yell,
it's Luke Ski, you fucking idiot. Learn a fucking spell.
Anyway, I made the happy cow dance, and you know I got too much stuff
in my pants.
I make the girls scream like a dumpster full of gibbons, and I'm so full of wind that I shit blue ribbons.
On Mario Kart, when I drive, they all dart. I smoke more carts than there are in a Walmart parking lot. Sure enough, you got shot by a heat-sickin' red shell, you're suckin' a bride.
I'm bringing the Wisconsin cheese by the ton, and when I'm in the house, you know it's time to have fun. No mistaking, I'm making bacon for every meal, and I got more massive deal than the fucking wheel.
For real!
Luke, you keep saying you're more popular than the wheel?
Yeah.
Okay, you just keep telling yourself that.
Yay, another comedy song for the ages.
Yeah, what are you gonna do about that, God?
Pero ino non vengo, e non è che tu scrivi, non è che tu non obispaccia.